Since we had a major lockdown at the start of the year, I found myself cooking at home more. I wanted to see if other young adults took advantage of this too, so I sat down with three university students, Dallas Rogers, Riley Hillman, and Albert Hopkins, who had differing levels of skill with home cooking, to see what experiences they had. When did you first delve into home cooking?
Started home cooking when I was about 6 years old. My parents were away a lot because they were in a business helping people with intellectual disabilities get trained for entering the workforce, so I was forced to cook for my four younger brothers a lot. So I started when I was six, just started making some basic meals from then on, did a lot of T-bone steak, a lot of pasta. We really love pasta, and that's how I started.
I've kind of been living at home for my entire life, so naturally when you live in the environment, you're forced to cook in the kitchen a lot, so quite often I'll eat food at home because, you know, I live there. So I guess I could say I've been home cooking for as long as I can remember.
I was about 9 years old when I really started thinking about cooking, and it wasn't until about 11 or 12 where I actually got to start cooking in my own kitchen.
So you thought about cooking for 2 years before you started?
Well, it's not, you know, you've got to do the, when you go for a driver's license, they don't just let you in the car straight away because that would be ridiculous. You need to know some ground rules. You need to read some books. You need to know what's sort of going on in the sort of, in the world of cooking.
I think it's about visualizing success as well. You know, you do need to take some time to really think about what meals you're going to do and picture it and stew on that for a little bit before you, you know, throw yourself into the furnace and get on the pans.
Cooking starts at home. Cooking always starts at home. It's got to be a reflection of the world around you, of all the things that you're seeing on television, all the news that you're hearing, anything in the world, all different cuisines. You've got to put it in one and have it as your own little thing.
As we continue to have a chat, I asked the guys, what were their go-to breakfast, lunch and dinners?
I have Weet-Bix. I put a bit of wheat germ on there as well because I have terrible indigestion. So you got to have some, you know, you got to put some fiber onto it. Some wheat
fiber
germ
onto the Weet-Bix.
Yeah. It's just, you know.
Aren't Weet-Bix nothing but fiber?
Weet-Bix are like 90% pure fiber.
Actually,
did you say you put fiber jam on your Weet-Bix?
How about you, Riley?
I don't like to lock myself into one thing. I don't really have a go-to. If it's breakfast, it's my go-to, as, you know, I eat breakfast regularly, so.
I've had the same breakfast pretty much every day since I was 15 and hit my head really hard. I start off with a raw kingfish sliced with lemon, which is a lot of people call it ceviche, but it's not the way I make it because I don't cut it in that style. I then go on to have a spinach and ricotta reduction over a small, tiny baby octopus that I grill myself. I like seafood for breakfast. It's a great way to start the day.
How long does that all take, Ben?
It takes upwards of 45 minutes every day.
What's your go-to lunch?
Love a bit of a toaster sandwich and just
do you eat vegetables?
I decided long ago that vegetables just weren't for me. I ate a lot of bread and a lot of Weet-Bix. As I said, you know, I do have a bit of an issue processing fiber, so.
Albert, what's your go-to lunch?
Le déjeuner, as the French call it. It's really, for me, the smallest meal I will eat in a day. A lot smaller than breakfast. A lot smaller than dinner. It will usually consist of just an avocado sliced very thinly with pepper and salt and a slight bit of sesame oil on the top. Sometimes with that, I will grill pita bread very quickly on the stove and then take it off.
And your go-to dinner?
My go-to homemade dinner is actually a mushroom risotto. I picked up that recipe from my good friend once when we were on holiday, actually, and we decided we'll cook a mushroom risotto. There was actually a secret ingredient in that one. So the risotto is very creamy. It's very rich and it's very soft. It melts in your mouth. So as I was taking a bite, I noticed something a little bit chewy, a bit tough. It was actually a bit crass of me to then spit it out and look. But I noticed it was actually a menthol filter that he'd put in the risotto. And it does give it that freshness to the dish. That's just been my go-to ever since.
It's kind of like cleaning your teeth, isn't it?
I like to, you know, combine the eating and the cleaning of teeth.
How about you, Riley?
Start off with like a leek, lobster, caviar entree. Kind of just like, sometimes you can kind of mix it all together, but I usually just like to have all the things individually and just a spoonful of each. Pig's trotter for the main course, stuffed with potato. Dessert, sliced poached pears, and then you fry them with the torch, and then a little bit of homemade ice cream on the top.
Our talk on cooking reminded me of all the stuff I'd done this year. So I look back at a favourite breakfast that I'd made that I'd like to share now. I think most of us can agree that we had a more stress-free morning during lockdown, as we didn't have to get up as early to commute to work or uni. With that extra time, I treated myself to a more filling breakfast. My main go-to was what I will vaguely dub as the breakfast sandwich. Right, so for the bread of the sandwich, you want to use a bun. I find myself subbing in an English muffin from time to time, but it's up to you. The major players are usually avocado, cheese, bacon, and grilled tomatoes. The first step is to set up the pan and pop the bacon in. I don't like to use butter or oil in the pan, as I find the bacon has enough fat to cook itself in. Throw in 2 slices of it. I like to cover the pieces in pepper. Pepper and bacon just can't be beat. Let them cook while you cut up 4 slices of tomato. Pack these slices down to get rid of that weird tomato moisture, then chuck them into the pan too. You only want to turn these guys once, so as to keep the structural integrity. So give them a bit of time, then flip. Once the tomatoes and bacon are done, I'll pop them on a plate and dab them down to get rid of excess oil. I'm just not a fan of that oily taste when you don't do this. Whilst the pan is still hot, cut the bun in half and pop them facing inside down and let that toast. For the avocado, I'll only use half for one sandwich. It's plenty. Scoop the avocado out with a spoon, then pop it in a bowl. Add salt and pepper, then grind that into a paste. Smear the avocado onto the bun, add the bacon and tomatoes, chuck on a slice of good quality cheese, throw in some salad mix on top, and you're good to go. This is a hearty breakfast for me, so be prepared to sit down a bit after consuming. Going back to my chat with the boys, I wanted to see if they cooked more during lockdown.
Oh no, I started cooking a lot less. I wanted to support local businesses, so I ordered a lot of Hungry Jack's, just my local.
Yeah, fair enough. Riley, did you cook more during lockdown?
Well, as I said, you know, my mum does most of the cooking at home, but I watched a lot of like cooking shows and stuff, and often I would like tell her specifically what recipes to do.
I can't say I expected the answers they gave, and in all honesty, Dallas's response about local businesses was something I hadn't thought about too much before. But speaking for myself, I think that one of the tenets of home cooking should be embracing the freedom and creativity you can have, because that's really the beauty of it. You're in charge and it's all for you. And that's what I found out when I really got into home cooking this year. As we've left lockdown for a while now, I hope you can still find time to treat yourself to the great pleasure that is home cooking.